My friends, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Well, I've been doing a lot of kayaking this summer on my day off. On Thursday, this last Thursday, I went to Mona Lake in Muskegon. Maybe some of you are familiar with it. It's a nice little lake to paddle around in. And I hadn't been there for a couple of years, so at least not to the west end of the lake. So as I was paddling around, I like to look at the homes along the shore. And I noticed that, in fact, I was amazed at how many new homes were there. Big homes, like million-dollar homes, you know, with great big glass in the front and a couple of nice boats at the dock. There are not small little summer cottages there as much anymore. Where your treasure is, there is your heart also, Jesus says in our gospel lesson today. So I had to kind of wonder if that's where people's hearts are, you know, with their property, with their homes, with their boats. But then I realized that I was paddling a pretty nice, pretty expensive little kayak. My kayak, if you haven't heard, is a foldable kayak. It's really a big piece of plastic that you fold up origami style into a kayak. And I can fold it up and put it in my back seat, which is the reason I spent a lot of money on it. So I don't have to try to get it up on top of the car. So I use quite a bit of my treasure to buy that kayak. It wasn't cheap. Is that where my heart is? Well, I think on Thursdays, sometimes it is. I love relaxing and enjoying the peacefulness of the water, enjoying God's creation as I paddle along. But I really don't think it's my top priority. Jesus outlines a very simple investment plan in our gospel lesson today. He uses three imperatives: sell, give, make. Sell your possessions, give alms to the poor, and make purses that don't wear out. In other words, invest yourself first in the kingdom of God. So just what is the kingdom of God? We hear a lot about that. We pray for the kingdom of God to come in the Lord's Prayer, but what is the kingdom of God? It means to have our priority to be God's ways in our hearts and minds and actions, to be aligned with God's values. Our hearts do not get rich by accumulating human treasure, but by setting them on God's treasures, namely compassion and mercy. Henri Nouwen, the famous Dutch priest and spiritual writer, once said, "From the beginning of my life, two interior voices have been speaking to me. One saying, 'Henri, be sure you make it on your own. Be sure you become an independent person. Be sure I can be proud of you.' And another voice saying, 'Henri, whatever you are going to do, even if you don't do anything very interesting in the eyes of the world, be sure you stay close to the heart of Jesus. Be sure you stay close to the love of God.'" Well, isn't that the truth? These two voices that speak within us, the voice of culture and the voice of God. And that's a big part of our struggle as disciples, isn't it? The ways of Jesus don't make sense to the rest of the world. Caring for the least of these, my neighbors, supporting my church with my time and my money, sometimes even sacrificing what I want in order to follow what Jesus wants. It's hard. discipleship is not an easy road. And yet, as we follow it, we see, not always, but sometimes, we see a glimpse of God's kingdom. We see healing in a relationship that has been stretched too far. We see a hungry family being fed, or a homeless family able to get on their feet and get a fresh start. In this, there is life, abundance of life that the world cannot give. Only God can give us the fresh eyes to see all the goodness that he wants us to have. In walking with Jesus, we get a glimpse of the way it will be when God brings his kingdom to the fullness that and the completion that it will be on the last day. And so Jesus can say the words of assurance that we have so longed for, especially during this troublesome week in our world. Have no fear, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Having his kingdom, living with our hearts close to him in his kingdom, is worth far more than the riches of this world. God has already won the kingdom for us in the life, death, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus. It's already given to us in the promises of baptism. Now it's only up to us to respond to that gift, to the love and the life given for us. Pastor David Lowe from Bloomington, Minnesota writes, "Sometimes faith is pretty easy, but sometimes God's promises can be really hard to believe. Faith can be easy when your life is going pretty good anyway. You hear God's promises and they're just what you hoped for, and it feels like a gift, and so it's just easy to believe. But sometimes God's promises are really hard to believe. Sometimes faith is really hard. Look at Abraham in our first lesson. He waited 25 years to have a son. In our first lesson, we see how exasperated he is with God. Abraham was a wealthy man, but what he didn't have was children. And children were very important in those days. You were thought to be cursed by God if you did not have children. He had flocks and herds and tents, but he did not have children. He did not have anyone to whom he could leave an inheritance. And most important, no one, after he died, would remember his name. Abraham waited and waited for God's promise to come to completion. And finally, God took Abraham outside at night and reiterated the promise. "Do not be afraid, Abraham. Look up at the stars and count them, if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And once again, Abraham believed. And yet it was 14 more years before his son Isaac was born. And I wonder how many times over that period that Abraham took his wife Sarah outside on a clear night and said, "Look, honey, see the stars. That's how many descendants we will have someday." In the book of Hebrews, we hear that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We know that God's kingdom is on its way. We can trust God's promises. The book of Hebrews lists the many faithful people who trusted God's promises, including Abel, Enoch, Noah, and of course, Abraham and Sarah. When faith is hard, when we've tried to believe, and we've prayed to believe, we can look to these ancestors of ours who kept the faith. For in holy baptism, we are the children of Abraham. We have been grafted into the promise made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and his sons, the tribes of Israel. And from this line came Jesus, our Messiah, the Christ, our Savior. And we are the children, the fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham, as many of us as the stars in the sky. We can trust God's promise of a new kingdom, one without tears or war, one without violence or guns, but only peace. A kingdom without poverty or illness or hate. God keeps God's promises, even beyond death. And we know that because of the resurrection of Jesus, his son. While we look to ourselves and our world to find the safety and security that we so desire, we need first to look to Jesus, our treasure, our shepherd, and Savior, who reassures us once again, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Amen.